What's up, win streak Clippers?
Ooh, we here.
Feels good. My second favorite streak.
What's your first? Blue streak?
The film Blue Streak.
Yeah,
I mean, with Martin Lawrence. How's it going, everybody? We're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. I am William the Opinion Updike, joined as always by
Positive Chuck Mockler.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Yes, we do.
A couple of great wins, obviously, over the Friday and the weekend. I'm going to call the whole thing the weekend.
Yeah, that's a
weekend. Just wrap it up. We're going to kick things off with a little recap of that victory over the Kings. We kind of did a more extended post game on Twitter Live. I think that's still at Locked On Clips pinned tweet.
For the Bulls game, yeah.
Yes, that's what I said.
You said Kings game.
No, we're going to do a recap of the Kings game. We already talked about a recap of the Bulls game.
Yeah, you just hadn't mentioned that before you said the Kings.
I did.
I don't think that's true.
Charles isn't paying attention. If you're paying attention, read this back. Get at him on Twitter. He's a liar. Anyways, we're going to move on from this recap and this rift now starting between this once great friendship. And then we're going to move into a preview of tonight's game against the Hawks. Hopefully we can get a big dub there.
Ooh, we need it.
Last time, interestingly enough, we did play this game without Gallo, so could be more of the same. Who knows? No Jerome last time. But we'll get into what we need to do to win that game, as well as some key matchups you guys will want to look out for, and what could go wrong. As you may know, if you listen to the show, if not, today is Monday. Well, it's Monday whether you listen to the show or not, but our Monday segment is the Freshies. So we're going to do like a little bit of a rookie report and talk about all the fresh guys on this squad. Ooh. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so the Clippers had kind of a weird weekend, I would say, play style-wise.
What do you mean?
We were supposed to blow out the Bulls and then maybe beat the Kings, and it kind of went the other way.
Yeah.
If you didn't notice, on Friday, we played the Bulls. We won 106-101, and it was...
In what was a very tense game.
Dude, it was bad. Like, we had a terrible travel situation.
Yeah.
Doc, like, didn't get to the stadium until 45 minutes before the game.
Yes.
Also, they moved the whole team on three different buses, which is something logistically I want to talk to the Clippers about.
Yeah, logistically, also... I don't know, man. Just the impact on both the traffic and ecology.
Three buses?
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway, it took maybe Lou's best game as a Clipper ever for us to get past the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Insane triple-double for Lou.
31, 10 and 10. His 10th assist was an oop to Trez to like put a nail in the coffin.
I believe, and I could be incorrect, but I believe he was the first guy with a 30-point triple-double off the bench since, like, 92.
I believe it was Detlef Schrempf for the Pacers.
Really?
Yeah. Former Seattle Supersonic great. Tobias Harris led the starters with 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then, change our mind, Avery Bradley had 11 points, 5 boards, and 2 assists.
Really solid game.
It could have been one of our worst losses of the season, and as I put it on here, it turned into one of our worst wins, so
yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
If like as Will mentioned, if you want a longer stream about that, we have like an hour up on Twitter Live right now.
Yeah, where we break down the game, we take some of your questions. It was a fun time. We always love you guys tuning in.
Yeah.
Great to hear your questions. Yeah, we'll try to do those at least once a week post-game, and then we obviously always do the Twitter show live on Twitter as well, at Locked On Clips.
Oh, quick plug. Yes. And then for the game yesterday at 12:30, when no basketball game should ever be played, we beat the sister team, the Sacramento Kings, 122-108 to get to 3 in a row.
Yeah. Never feels good to bully your sister, you know?
It doesn't, but in this case, this one felt good. it was a great game.
It was. Yeah, Trez celebrated his 25th birthday. 25 points, 7 boards.
He was a monster.
Tobias, 18 and 6, which pretty solid with,
yeah.
some late buckets.
Timely buckets.
Shea, I think, to me, was the standout game.
Dude, he looked good.
His numbers were pretty close, actually, to De'Aaron Fox's. I don't have him right in front of me, but he did finish with 17 points. Yeah.
It was nice. Patrick, best rebounder in the league, Beverly, had a near triple-double with 16 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. And Lou had 12 points and 10 dimes.
Solid.
His passing... He's passing better than he's ever passed in his whole life, I feel like, right now.
Yeah, so, I guess I want to talk a little bit about this. I think that he is, you know, we've talked about on here before how his playmaking has always been a little bit underrated, but I think that he's got a few guys around him right now that are like the perfect guys.
Couldn't agree
for
more.
Lou.
Yeah, Trez is one of those guys. It's just any
Motley is one of those guys. I feel like
we kind of talked about this a little bit. Anyone who is so Lou, his best trait is his confidence.
Yeah,
he's taking shots. He's making passes. He's never second guessing himself.
Yeah,
that kind of passing works so well with high energy guys like Trez and Motley, who are just like, I'm gonna go towards the ball, and if you get me the ball, I'm gonna do my best to score. Because Lou is not second guessing where those guys are going.
No.
And those guys are going straight for the ball every time. So it's this perfect combination of like Lou's unabashed full confidence in his own passing abilities with those guys also being smart players.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just
yeah.
having a high motor and just being like, all right, you're giving me the ball here, I'm taking it here.
But it's also a thing, and I think you said something good about like them getting in their spots. I think that there is, and this is not a diss, but there's a predictability to these players. And that's, you know, that's saying that they know how to play their position. Mm-hmm. But like as a playmaker, you pretty much know where those guys are going to be. You're not going to be,
yes.
You're not going to be at a threat of, say, thinking that someone's running out for a corner three and you're, you know, all of a sudden tossing it to the bench because they're not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know where either one of those guys is going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
And if you don't know exactly where they are, you know where they're headed.
It's right below the hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the Kings, De'Aaron Fox had 21, Bogdan contributed 19 from the bench, and Willie Cauley-Stein snatched 12 boards. We had six players in double figures.
Super solid.
Mike Scott had 8 on 3 of 4 shooting, including 2 of 2 from behind the arc.
Which is, you know, he's mounting a comeback.
It was really nice to see him actually shooting the ball well.
Yeah. Oh, we won every category, too.
Yeah, boards, assists, fast break, just like everything we usually get beat on, we got these guys on.
Yeah.
It was a weirdly like kind
minutes
of,
played. We actually sneaked in an extra minute
yeah,
of play time.
We got an extra one in there. This did, so I watched this game in between moving into my new apartment. So like we were up by 25 at one point.
Yeah.
Which was great. And then the lead slowly dwindled down to about 5 points. We led for this entire game, like literally from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like that though. It was kind of a goofy game flow.
I agree, and I think that has been, I think that that's been an issue in every victory. You know, like
yeah.
there are times where we're leading by 20 plus points, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's a single digit
yeah.
game in the fourth,
and you're so. Just like, what the hell? And then we still win, but it's just kind of like it's like a deflating feeling.
I agree.
It's more of like a feeling of relief.
Yeah,
like I was relieved we won this game. Trez really just was the difference maker.
Definitely.
I had to watch the Kings stream.
Okay.
And they kept calling him, their nickname for him is Mr. Uh-oh.
I don't like that.
Because, like, no one can do anything. It's an awful nickname.
Yeah, that's bad.
They were also ragging on everyone for wanting Chick-fil-A. They were like, the loudest this arena's been all night is if they get this Chick-fil-A. And who cares about Chick-fil-A? And then they referenced some local place in Sacramento. And it's like, great, Doug Christie. Cool.
Everybody wants free Chick-fil-A.
Everyone wants it. He went 11 of 13.
Mm-hmm.
Every single basket, except for one, I think was a insane dunk. I don't know. I think he's got to be in the running for most improved player or sixth man of the year. Like,
yeah, it's tough.
We owe a lot of our season to Trez.
We really do.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the season, when we look at all his 15 and 10 games or whatever, it's going to be like, I mean, he might average a double-double by the end of the season.
Possibly. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think that's also helped out, like we just talked about it, with Lou's passing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like him on the bench.
That's where he kind of belongs, I think.
He's killing it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And that has nothing to do with like his quality or whatever as a player. That's just where he's best.
Yeah. It's his whole thing. Shea only took 9 shots.
Yeah. Hit 5 of them, though.
And we needed it. Everything around the rim went in. It was cool. So in the game against the Bulls, he just got like demolished by Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah,
maybe
pretty
twice.
Early. Pretty early on.
It was cool to see him not do that this game.
Yeah,
you know, like it's like a nice sign of improvement.
I mean, it's always good to not see someone get horrifically stuffed at the rim.
I feel like he's learning maybe of how to take contact and how to work on his finishing a little bit better.
Yeah,
because it has been kind of tough to see. Buddy Hield didn't have his best shooting day.
It'll happen.
16 points on 7.
Against the lockdown Clippers.
Oh, man. 16 points on 17 shots. Avery Bradley guarded him for 51 possessions and really kind of like flummoxed him. Just keep proving us wrong.
I mean, that's what I wanted to touch on real fast is that I do feel like Avery Bradley, You know, he obviously it's showing up in the box score, but the eye test is better. I feel like we talked about, I feel like the times where we were getting the most down on Avery Bradley, it's like, you know, we're not expecting him to step up as a scorer.
No.
He's never really been a playmaker.
No.
I'm not mad that he's not, he's this little guy. I'm not mad that he's not getting a bunch of boards.
Little guy. Those fighting words, dude.
But what was hard to watch was sometimes he just didn't look defensively engaged or like that much of a difference maker.
For sure.
And I think that, you know, with these improved stats, it also just looks a lot better to the eye when he's guarding guys.
This is the unstatable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is also funny because there's just stats.
There's also stats. Yeah.
So that helps back it up. He's been great. Tobias didn't hit the 20-point mark.
Loser.
Get out of here.
Just kidding, Tobias. Great, great performance.
He was huge. He hit a three with 8 minutes left that put our lead from 5-8.
Yeah.
Which didn't sound like a lot, but we were really tanking at that time.
Yeah.
And then right after that, Bradley hit a three and a long two, and then Trez took an and one that just took the wind out of the Kings' sails. I mean, all in all, it was a good win, you know?
Yeah.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Coming up after this, a preview of tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. But first, guys, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts and you want the whole mess of them just in one section, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You get all the NFL and NBA ones right into one spot, which is nice. Great for Instagram because you get longer info on the stories and whatnot. And if you have a smart speaker, like everyone does, tell that thing, Alexa, play the dang podcast, Locked On Clippers.
Playing podcast.
And then you'll be like, oh, wow, cleaning is so much better now. Coming up next, preview of the Hawks-Clips game tonight.
All right, so just some quick stats. We're 11th in offensive rating. We've slipped a little bit. And 22nd in defensive rating. We've improved a little bit. And the Hawks are 27th in offense and 25th in defense.
Have been playing better lately, though.
I guess. I think they've still only won one of the last five games.
4-6 in the last 10. So we have no Gallo, no Luke, no Cam Bazemore for the Hawks. We have a couple questions right up top. Could this be a trap game?
I mean, possibly. This team did beat OKC.
Kind of handedly.
Yeah, 142 to 126.
Yeah.
So that could happen to us.
That's
something that could go wrong.
Another question, which I like that you posed, are the Hawks winning too many games?
I think they might be winning too many games to effectively tank. So,
yeah.
Outside of like the top few guys in this 2019 draft class.
Sure.
Executives don't seem that hyped on anybody.
Yeah.
It's being predicted as being one of the lowest quality drafts of the decade. Outside of like the top level prospects,
yeah,
on Williamson and possibly a couple of those other Duke guys that could have ended up panning out. So I think that, if you're a team like the Hawks, that, I mean, whether you say it or not, you're in a rebuild.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that getting a top three, ideally, I mean, top five, you have to get top five, but like ideally a top three pick is what you need. And I think right now the Hawks are winning far too many games. I can't believe I'm saying this. Hawks are winning far too many games.
They're five games ahead of the Bulls for the first bottom three spot in the East. So they're absolutely winning too many games.
Yeah.
They are not going to get.
And maybe we'll see some action from them to kind of just dump as many contributing guys as they can before the deadline. But I mean, I don't know how. I guess just play the young guys for even more time. I don't know what the best tanking strategy is for these guys.
So our brutal schedule continues. Got a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Which I hate. Thankfully, I guess it was at 12:30, so we have a little more time to recover. What do we need to do to win?
I think that we're going to need to be really, really strong in the paint again. So last game when we played them in November, we out-rebounded them, only by one rebound, though. But we had, like, I think that dominance in the glass led to, like, a great fast break performance as we were able to, like, get the ball down there. And we had nearly double the amount of second chance points.
That's what's up.
So I think that that's going to be super key again. We were ultimately outscored in the paint, 52-48, which is still pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But I expected that to be really, really key again. Last time, Trez had a great performance with 25 and 11. And, you know, we're going to need big numbers from him again. As I said at the top, you know, last time we played them, we also didn't have Gallo.
Yeah.
So that, you know, hopefully that addition isn't missed too much, but, you know, other guys are going to have to step up.
Yeah. And then your other note in here is just control the ball.
Yeah. So we had more turnovers than the Hawks last time.
That's not a good.
More turnovers than the Hawks. And Shea was starting at that time, I believe. So, you know, it will happen. I think we had I believe this was one of those performances where we had a bunch of strange turnovers. Like Lou Will had a bunch of turnovers, which you never want to see, but it's just going to be super crucial because this team, you know, while they are towards the bottom of their conference, you know, they beat OKC.
They're five games up on the Bulls. I mean,
they can still come out and surprise some people. And especially if we're not controlling the ball well, we could pretty quickly see any sort of lead dissipate and have to dig ourselves out of a hole as we are constantly in the position of it feels like.
And that was kind of interesting about the Kings game. We lost turnovers in that game, which against a team like the Kings, who gets out and sprints, we were kind of lucky to get away with as big of a win as we did.
Definitely.
There's another team that can run. So I think, I don't know about the pace. I'm torn. Do we just try and slow this thing down? Because I don't necessarily want to run with someone like Trae Young leading the opposing offense. Hmm. He's just such a good passer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think that it does slightly benefit us to make them work in the half court.
For sure.
To get any sort of points. I don't know. I guess my knowledge, or like this is Will's thing is anytime
Will's thing.
This is Will's thing. It's a rule. I think that anytime you're playing a better team, you generally want to minimize the amount of possessions you have.
Got it.
Because I just feel like that gives the opposing team less chances to try to exploit whatever you're bad at.
Yeah, for sure.
So against teams like this where I feel like the communication maybe isn't as good, I don't think that they still have the top-tier shooting that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's okay to push it a little bit more. But at the same time, I mean, like having said that, you know, Trae Young is a great passer, probably better than any guard that we currently have as like a playmaker from that perspective.
For sure.
I do think that there would be benefit in this one to slowing it down a bit more.
Yeah, let's get into what could go wrong. They rank sixth in offensive boards.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they are eighth in three-point attempts a game at 34 a game.
Wow.
This could combine into one of those things where they're maybe missing a lot of three-point shots, but they're just eating us alive on the boards.
Definitely.
Where we get kind of out-ratioed when it comes to made three-points. Like, great, we'll shoot 56%, but we took 24 and they took 35 and still had more points from the three-point arc than we did.
Yeah, well, I think that the amount, the, you know, the quantity is going to be an issue in this game.
Yes.
As we generally take less. Last time, our three-point percentages were nearly identical. Theirs was actually slightly better than ours at 31, and ours was right around 30%.
And didn't Mike Scott shoot some absurd amount from the arc?
He shot 42% from the floor and 50% from three, I'm pretty sure.
He saved us last game.
he had a really great standout game. But yeah, I think that if the percentages hold true to similar to what they were last time, the team that takes more is gonna be better off in that category, even if they're lesser quality.
Yeah, we just kind of touched on this a little bit about Trae Young. His last five games, he's averaging 19 points with a rough 5-point outing in the middle of that,
mm-hmm.
And almost 9 assists. So he's playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, he's playing pretty well. And I would guess that one 5-point game, I mean, I don't have the box score in front of me, but he probably just shot some terrible percentage.
Yeah.
Still probably took 20 shots.
Still taking them, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't want him to get loose and kind of light a fire under this Atlanta team. I don't want Vince Carter doing like a sweet dunk against us in this game, or we've lost this game. You know what I mean?
Even if we won, we've lost.
Even if we won, if we're losing at one point and Vince Carter feels confident enough to like do a really slow windmill, we've lost this game. And then I like your note in here. Whatever happened to OKC could happen to us.
You never know.
They got a better defense than us. They let them get up 142.
Yeah, you get bit.
Oh, God. We had 73 bench points against them last time.
Yeah.
I think you're right with the keys to victory. We're going to need that again.
Yeah, the bench is going to be super crucial in this. With Bazemore out, you know, their starters will be a little bit at a loss from some play really on both sides of the floor there. But, you know, their rookies are stepping up. We'll talk about this a little bit in the matchup, but I like Huerter, however you say his name.
Huerter?
Kevin. Huerter. It's Huerter.
Yeah. Huerter? I hardly know her. Okay.
And John Collins, obviously. Jeremy Lin. They have a pretty solid bench.
Yeah, let's get into those matchups, that Huerter versus Robinson one.
Yeah, so I like this matchup. I don't know how much Robinson will end up defending Huerter. I think that for the bench, though, he's a good match for him. I like this because, you know I'm all about storylines. You know I love the drama.
You do, dude.
And these are both kind of guys who are a little bit lower ranked. I don't think as much was known about them coming into the draft. You know, Huerter was certainly never in any of my mocks.
Yeah, I forgot all those mocks you had.
So I think that it'd be like both of them, I feel like, are kind of outperforming what was expected of them. Obviously, Robinson has had a smaller sample size, but still playing really well, looking really, really good. Looking like a grown man is the comment that I keep giving him.
Against Chicago, he hit some big threes to keep us in that game, and it was a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, and I like the intensity that he brings on defense. He has, you know, some pretty solid physical tools. And he's a smart player, so I think that he will be a serviceable defender. I'd like to see him on Huerter, and we'll see how that goes. And I'd like to just see him knocking down shots.
Yeah. One that I have is Patrick Beverley versus Trae Young.
Okay.
PBev was on him for 31 possessions last time and held him to 1 of 4 shooting.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of seems like Patrick Beverley is the best option for this
I think
situation.
That's the like a tailor-made guy to take on a rookie point guard.
He's a little bit bigger than Trae Young. And he's just going to fight through every single screen they set for him.
Yeah.
So I think that's big.
And he's going to irritate you. I think it's easier to get under the skin of a young guy.
Especially a guy with a terrible head of hair like Trae Young has.
Hey, now.
What?
Come on.
It's a bad head of hair. Patrick Beverley's haircut looks way better. Let's do John Collins versus Tobias.
Okay.
This is kind of a hard defensive assignment for Tobias, I think.
Yes.
Collins is hella athletic.
Yes. My one thing that I will say against him is that I think that if Tobias is playing smart, if he's using some of his crafty moves, he's going to be able to lure him into foul trouble.
I hope so. That would be awesome. I'm hoping that Collins isn't really locked in terms of like the alley-oop connection with Trae Young, so Tobias doesn't have to exert too much on the defensive end.
Because
when Tobias gets tired is when we see him fade away, just 100%.
Definitely.
So that's going to be a big key.
Yeah, last game he against the Hawks, he scored 24, but in the second half, he only scored 7 points on like 5 shots.
Yeah.
Which is not enough. That's not enough attempts, Tobias, for us to be winning
Take
games.
Take more. We got one more in here, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Mike's. I got two more for you. Well, Tobias versus the second half, which I just touched on. And then Mike Scott versus the slump.
Duh slump is what
Duh
the
notes slump.
Say.
I hope that he slumps the slump.
Oh, I like that. All right, nice. Needs a slump buster.
I hope this game is a slump buster for Mike Scott. Last time, he had a great game. 18-7, 43% field goal percentage, 50% from three.
Ooh.
Just really solid. I hope that, I don't know, is there a grudge? I don't know if there's any grudge.
They kind of seem like there was last time, but I don't think there is.
I don't know what it is, but I hope that he has the same kind of chip on his shoulder.
What's your prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be really close to the game last time. Maybe a little.
You think
lower.
We're going to be down by 15 at one point?
No. I just think final score-wise, it's going to be pretty similar. I think that it might be a little bit lower scoring because both, I don't know, I feel like the intensity of games obviously wears down leading up to the All-Star break.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like the scores get kind of lower and lower. But I think that this one will end up being in the round, I'm going to say 121 to 116.
Who's winning?
Clippers.
Okay. I took the Kings.
The
on
Kings,
Sunday, which I was wrong about.
I thought you meant tonight.
I think the Kings are going to beat the Clippers and the Hawks tonight. No, I took the Kings in the matchup on Sunday, and I was very pleasantly surprised that I was wrong about that.
Yeah,
I think I'm giving this one to the Clippers. I think we're putting up like I think it's going to be like 131-125.
131 we're putting up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think we're going to be firing on all cylinders on the second night of a back to back. No, I hope Trez has a big game. Maybe not 131. I'll bump it
That's
down.
That's a lot, dude.
I know it's a lot. I'll bump it down. 125.
Okay.
120.
All right.
Mark it down. Book it. coming up after this, some really quick Freshies talk. So welcome to the Freshies.
It's fresh.
On Monday, we do this. We're talking about the new guys. We got a couple minutes left here. How great has Jerome Robinson been?
Really good. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. He just looks like a grown man. He's playing like, he has the physical tools. He plays pretty intelligently from what I can see. He knows the right spots to be in on
offense. Not afraid to shoot.
Not afraid to shoot ever.
Knows what his job is.
He knows his role.
Yeah.
I think you and I were talking about this. We talked about it a little bit in the live cast, but I think that early on, despite how great I think Shea is doing, I think Jerome might get to his like expectations before Shea does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we were talking about how like he doesn't, we don't mean this in a mean way, he doesn't have as much to do.
Yeah,
responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not really being expected to be, you know,
the guy,
the driver of the offense.
Yeah, he's expected to score hella points and play defense, which he's been doing.
He's expected to be a great 3-and-D guy, and I think that he's going to be able to realize that potential sooner than maybe Shea is going to be able to realize being like the
runner of the whole offense.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I hope we see Jerome crush it tonight. This seems like a team he could maybe go off on or something like that. Do you think we'll see a 20-point game from Jerome by the end of the year?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of touches. I'm just trying to think of it, like against what team.
I was thinking it'd be not a lot of touches. I think he'd just get hot from three and hit like 4 of 6 threes.
I could see that.
And then a couple of foul shots or something like that.
I could see that for sure.
That would be sick. Him and Motley have been great together. Motley's seems like he's a little too amped up. He takes quick shots.
Definitely. Definitely.
He puts up some quick shots, but his energy is fantastic.
It's like the double-edged sword of energy. Because I think
the
that it's...
The double-edged sword of energy.
Yeah.
That sounds epic as hell.
I mean, like, it's really, really good. And you obviously, especially coming off the bench, you want those energetic players. The issue with that is that, like, there's, like, an anxiety or a jumpiness.
Yeah.
It's similar to, like, when players come back from an injury or something. And, like...
And they're just like, let's do it!
Yeah, and they're, like, trying to do too much.
The opposite of Gordon Hayward, if you will.
And they're, like, trying to do too much. And, it, you know... they have issues with that. But I think that he'll settle down and it's going to simmer down.
Yeah.
Get into I just think that he'll get better instincts.
When he looks more comfortable, Motley looks comfortable with him and Jerome around the floor. And I think that's just because they've played G League together.
Yeah.
They're just a little more comfortable with each other's presence. We have just a couple more minutes. We had a weird technical difficulty. Would you agree this is one of the weirdest feeling 3-game win streaks you've ever been a part of?
Oh, do you mean just because it's like so up and down performance-wise?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're still getting the wins, which is fantastic. But like, I woke up today and was like, oh, I think we were texting about it last night. Like, oh, we could win 4 in a row tonight?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess my issue with it would be that other than the Kings, I mean, no disrespect. Obviously, all
gotta
NBA,
win them though.
Yeah. Obviously, all NBA teams are competitors, and there's no bad NBA teams. But these are what I would call lower quality wins than some of the losses and stuff that we've been taking.
Oh, I agree 100%. But flip side of the coin, we lose those teams.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that would be a bummer. And I think it's good, you know, regardless of whatever team you're playing, to be able to build up the confidence in guys of having a little bit of streak, of mm-hmm. having like a little bit of cushion. I think that just makes everybody communicate better. It's obviously more fun to play when you're on a team that's been winning versus losing.
Yeah. You would say it's nice to have a little more cush for that playoff push.
I'm cutting this from the podcast.
Leave it, baby. That about wraps it up for us. Also, there's going to be an Anthony Davis trade. Maybe the Clippers can't really do anything in that situation.
No, a trade benefits us the least in the Anthony Davis scenario.
If you have your ideas, shoot them at me. I've gotten a couple of them. They're fine. Guys, tomorrow we are going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be live streaming on Twitter because it is Twitter Tuesday, so get your questions ready.
Why are you so mad?
I don't know. I want more questions. Thank you for tuning in. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.